Hello and welcome to Natural Focus. My name is David Boag and this podcast is dedicated as a celebration of the natural world. Oh, if you've emailed me and I haven't replied, I'm sorry about that. I've just been really busy over the last few days. I will get round to replying. I know that there's a few that I'm behind with, but there we go. I will try to catch up soon. The other day, actually, I was a bit pushed for time, but I had the opportunity to photograph a bird called a little grebe. It's a bird, well, the grebe family is quite well known, really, and actually the little grebe is quite well distributed throughout the world, so many of you would know the bird that I'm talking about, and it set me to thinking about how birds, how that particular family of birds, how incredible they are in the way they feed. Of course, anybody interested in birds would know how little grebes feed. I mean, they sit on the surface of the water and then suddenly, bloop, under the water they go. They duck dive, they dive under the water and they swim around under the water and there they catch fish, yeah? Now, that's something that we know and we kind of accept that. But because we've known it for a long time, and because we probably learned those things maybe as a child or whatever, we do kind of take it for granted. But think about it for a moment. Can you begin to imagine what it is like, how fast you've got to be to catch a fish in the fish's own environment? Don't forget, this is not the bird's environment. It's not the environment of the air or anything like that. This is a bird that is designed to swim underwater fast enough to catch fish. Have you thought what that means? Now, I love snorkeling, and I'll snorkel whenever I get the opportunity to. When I say the opportunity to, it has to be warm, all right? I cannot snorkel around the English coast. It's too cold. The sea here is too cold. So it has to be somewhere sensible. It has to be somewhere warm, the Mediterranean or wherever I happen to be. Okay, and I've snorkeled in lots of different areas. I wouldn't say that I'm a real sort of underwater photographer or anything like that. I'm not. But I enjoy snorkeling as a hobby just like anybody else does. And in some situations, my wife always snorkels with me. In fact, I'll be honest with you, she's a bit scared when we're snorkeling for some reason or other. She feels that we're entering a different kind of world that is not her world, and she's a bit scared, so we quite often snorkel holding hands. So there you go. But when there's lots of little fish around, sometimes you can take a little bit of bread or, I don't know, something or other under the water with you, and you can just crumple it in your hand, all right? And as you crumple it in your hand, the scent of the bread just merges with the water and fish will come right up to your hand. Yeah, you've done, yeah, some of you will have done this kind of thing, and sometimes you can get fish so close they're nibbling your fingers. Okay, now you think about this. Just supposing you were to suddenly try to grab one of those fish, yeah, would you be quick enough to catch one? It's nibbling your fingers. And it is so close, and you're going to suddenly grab it, yeah? Could you do it? I think the answer is no. You couldn't do it. And that is how fast and quick fish are able to react. Now back to our little grebe, or the great crested grebe, or any other grebe come to that. That grebe is fast enough to catch that fish underwater. It was actually nibbling your fingers, and you couldn't catch it. But the grebe can pursue it and chase it underwater so effectively, so efficiently, that it can actually grab it. That's quite remarkable when you word it in that way. I know I word things in a funny way, but I hope it sort of re-enthuses you for things that actually you've known for years. Now, of course, I've been talking about grebes, but it's not just the little grebe or the great crested grebe or Slavonian grebe or redneck grebe or all of these grebes. It's not just the grebes that do this. Lots of birds behave in this way. If you're thinking about the seabirds, then, of course, you've got birds such as, I suppose you've got the orc family, guillemots, razorbills, puffins, that kind of family, that whole family of birds, they behave in that way. What about cormorants and shags? And so you could go on. Many, many birds are able to swim so effectively, so efficiently underwater that they can snatch fish out of the fish's own environment. Now, of course, catching fish in that way, by pursuing them under the water, is only one way in which birds catch fish. Let's think about it. There's other ways as well. Hey, I've got a good one. What about the gannet, for example? In other countries, here in England, we call them gannets, whilst I think in the southern hemisphere, you refer to them as boobies. But that particular type of bird, it's flying about high above the surface of the water, and then suddenly it plummets down like a blooming arrow, unbelievable, and wham, straight into the water, more like a bullet, I suppose, wham, straight into the water, diving underwater, catching fish. And of course, that same principle, that's in the sea, of course, but that same principle applies in the rivers with kingfishers. It's a bird that flies or hovers above the surface of the water sometimes. Quite often, kingfishers dive from off of a branch, and they dive into the water. Now, once again, you think of the incredible calculations these birds have to make. I know that I'm sure they don't get their pen and paper out or their calculator out and work out all these calculations, but it's an assessment that they make in their minds. And they do it, yes, I know that word again, they do it instinctively. How many wonders of nature do we sweep aside with that word instinct? But anyway, they calculate the movement of the fish, yeah? So they've got to allow for that. Not only of that, they allow for the angle of refraction on the surface of the water. And so they don't even dive to where the fish looks as though it is. They have to dive to where it is in reality beneath the surface of the water, because you know how that light bends as it is on the surface of the water. And not only that, I don't know about other species of birds, but I know for a fact that kingfishers, when they actually grab the fish underwater, they have their eyes closed. They have the nictitating membrane drawn across their eye. So they've done all of those calculations, and then they dive into the water, having calculated the depth of the fish as well, and then they snatch the fish from under the water with their flipping eyes closed. Quite unbelievable when you think about it. But there is yet another way in which birds catch fish. Think of birds like herons and egrets and that kind of thing. Now, they fish in a different way again. So we've got three types of ways of fishing. I might come up with more yet, I don't know. But I can certainly picture a heron or an egret slowly striding in the water and just standing absolutely still, waiting for the fish to come in around it, and then just stabbing at the last moment, a sudden grab and snatching a fish. You think how fast that movement is. I mean, some people have fish in aquariums in their houses, don't they? I actually had some baby goldfish I was rearing just for fun. I had them in my office. But, you know, people quite often have goldfish and that kind of thing and tropical fish in their aquariums. You imagine having your hand above the surface of the water, yeah, watching the fish and suddenly grabbing. You can't catch them. They are too quick. Simple as that. And yet these birds can catch them. What have they got that I haven't got? You know, makes you think about it again, doesn't it, when you word it in that way. Of course, there is one species of egret that has this wonderful ability to suddenly flick its wings forward and create a shade. A shaded area in the water. Have you seen this bird? On the television, perhaps, if you haven't seen it in real life. And it sweeps its wings forwards like an umbrella, causing shade. And the fish take fright, but instinctively rush into the shade. So they instinctively rush under his umbrella of death, you might say. And then, of course, being no reflections, the birds can see them really nice and easily, and so they can stab them in the same way as any other egret. And there is one egret that has actually learnt, one individual, there may have been more, of course, that has actually learnt to use little pellets of fish food. And where in a park, or I think it was a park, people were the people were feeding fish, and they were throwing bits of food onto the water. And the egret had discovered that if he picked up one of the bits of food and took it off somewhere else and just placed it in front of itself, then a fish might come to eat the food. And he was baiting fish to within striking distance. Now, that's a kind of learning process, isn't it? And that's a very unusual situation. But it's amazing the way the onslaught on fish goes on. Day after day, week after week, month after month. The web of life. Nothing in nature exists on its own. Everything relies upon something else. Well, that's about all we have time for now. Do have a look at my website. You know now that it's www.naturalfocus.co.uk. Email me. I'm going to try to catch up with my emails, I promise. So email me, david@naturalfocus.co.uk. Look forward to hearing from you. So goodbye for now. See you again, or hear you again, or whatever, in a few days' time. Bye.